Bear with me, sorry about this. One of these days I'll be organised. One Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You and I, we're here this morning serving God, if indeed you are serving God this morning. Saved, if indeed you're saved this morning. Redeemed, if indeed you're redeemed this morning. Not because of anything good about us. Not because of any ability that you and I have or any influence that we have in this world. Not because of our wisdom. Not because of our intelligence. Not because we're of noble birth. Not many of us this morning are of noble birth, are we? Not many of us come from royal bloodlines this morning. We're not here this morning because of anything that we've done or because we're somehow clever or wise. But we're here this morning because God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Amen. That's you and I. God has chosen the weak things of the world. Are you feeling weak this morning? Yes. Are you feeling foolish? Yes. Are you feeling ignorant? Yes. Do you doubt your own abilities? Yes. Well, you're in a good place. Because you qualify to be chosen by God. Because God has chosen those very people, those very attributes, weak, foolish, lacking influence, the are nots of this world. God has chosen the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So if you are one of the are nots this morning, if you think you're just a nobody, then you're a someone whom God has chosen. And as I was speaking last time, as believers, we're all part of that royal priesthood, the chosen nation, God's own special people. You're chosen this morning, chosen by God. But I can tell you this morning that you're not chosen because of anything special that you've done. It's because God has chosen the weak and the foolish and the are nots to put to nothing those that consider themselves wise and powerful and strong and influential, the things that are. To nullify them, it says, so that no one can boast in his presence. Because in truth, nobody can boast. Because anything that anybody's got, whatever influence people have, whatever riches people have accumulated, whatever wealth people have, whatever wisdom people have, whatever intelligence people are gifted with, and there's the key word, gifted, because it's God who gives us these things. and the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It is God's sovereignty and his grace that gives us everything that we enjoy. None of us can claim credit for ourselves for any of our achievements in life. And whilst God does reward those who are diligent, and God does reward those who labour, ultimately, it's God who's given them the ability in the first place to achieve those things that they achieve. If you're blessed this morning with intelligence, it's not because of anything you've done. It's because God's blessed you with it. If you've been born into a noble birth, it's purely by the grace of God, isn't it? We can never boast. And when we do boast, we're basically setting ourselves up as an idol wanting to be worshipped. Because in truth, without him, we are nothing. But the good news is God can use the nobodies. God can use the foolish and the weak. Paul said he rejoiced in his weakness, in his infirmities. Jesus said to Paul, "My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you." All God is looking for is an obedient heart. And God has a destiny and a purpose for every one of us here this morning to serve within the body of Christ. And whatever ministry or purpose in life you're called to this morning, whatever destiny, God is able to empower us to fulfill that purpose. Because God can use the weak things. He can make the very stones worship him. He doesn't rely on human ability, does he, to fulfill his purpose. If you look back on the Old Testament, and there's been many men of God who we can think of as powerful men who yet doubted their own ability. And God had to remind them that it's him that gives them the strength and the power to serve him. Let's look at some examples. Firstly, let's look at Moses. Moses doubted himself. In Exodus 4 and verse 10, when God was telling him to go into Egypt and perform the signs to get Pharaoh to release his people, it says in verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Moses was afraid to go and do what God wanted him to do because he didn't think he had the ability. He said, "I've never been eloquent. I'm of slow speech and slow tongue." And God had to remind him, "Who's the one who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf and mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" In other words, I'm going to equip you to do what you need to do. You don't need to rely on your ability, Moses. You need to rely on me. And he says, "Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." What God is saying there is, I'm going to give you what you need to say. I'm going to give you the ability to speak. We too often hold back from doing what God wants us to do because we feel inadequate to do it. But we need to understand, if God is telling us to do something, he'll also give us the power and the ability to fulfill that which he requires of us, whatever that might be. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." What's impossible for men is possible with God, isn't it? Another example in the Bible, Gideon. And God had chosen Gideon to deliver the people of Israel from the Midianites. And in Judges 6 and verse 11, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valour.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favour in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Of course, we know the story. Gideon still didn't believe. He asked God to send him signs with the putting out the fleece, etc., etc. He had doubts about his ability. He said, I am the weakest. My clan is the weakest. I'm the least in my family. Let me ask you this morning, are you the least in your family? Are you the outcast? Are you the bad boy in the family? Are you the nobody? Are you the weakest? Let me tell you this morning, in God's eyes, you're a mighty warrior. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. He can use the weakest. He can use the least. He can use the nobodies. He can use those that lack ability, because it gives God glory. He's able to fulfill his purposes. He delights in doing that because it gives him glory. We don't do this morning for our own glory, do we? We do it to bring glory to Christ, so that we would diminish, so that he would increase. It's all done for the glory of God. If we're boasting about anything this morning, we're boasting about Christ. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God this morning. Look at Peter. He was a man full of weakness. He denied Jesus 3 times. In Luke 5 and verse 8, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Matthew 14, 66 to 72, Peter cursed and he denied the Lord 3 times. And yet, he became a pillar of the church. He was used by God in a mighty way. See, God will build his church, and he'll build it using flawed people, people of inadequate resources, because it's by his power, his grace, his spirit that is working in us to build the church. The church often looks weak, and yet the Bible says it's the manifold wisdom of God to use his church to build his kingdom through the church. That's the gospel. It's not a gospel of just mere words this morning. It's a gospel of power. Power to change lives. Power to see sinners saved. Power to see men healed of sickness and disease. Power to transform lives, power to save, power to redeem. It's not just a form of godliness, although much of the church world, sadly these days, is just performing a form of godliness. But the true gospel comes with power, the power of the Holy Spirit to set men free from sin and bondage and from captivity to demonic powers. God is a living God. He's a powerful God. He's a God who changes men, who transforms hearts, who renews minds. He delivers men from evil. He forgives, he heals, he delivers, he sets free. And the gospel that we preach isn't from man's wisdom. The preaching of the message of the cross is the power of God, it says, unto salvation. You and I, we're just the vessels that God uses. He doesn't rely on our ability. As I said last time I preached, we're all priests and kings this morning. We're all part of the royal household, a chosen generation, his own special people. And every one of us can be used by God for his purposes. What's required from you and I for God to move is obedience, is willingness to yield to his spirit, to his will, to be willing to go where he tells us. Imagine if Moses had refused and said, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm just not up to the job, get someone else. Well, he actually did say that to God pretty much, didn't he? God was gracious to him, and the Lord gave him Aaron as an assistant. And God was angry with him, it says. But he was still patient with him, and he gave him some help. So he wasn't doing it alone. Gideon didn't really believe God. He tested God. He asked for signs. And God, in his grace, gave him those signs to confirm things, to say, yes, Gideon, I am with you. I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. We need to trust God to help us. And if we're willing to cooperate with what God wants, then he can achieve his purposes as we step out in obedience. The Apostle Paul was a man who stepped out to obey God. And look how God used him to reach the Gentiles. But you know, Paul didn't rely on his own abilities. He probably had a lot to boast about, did Paul? He said that, didn't he? In 2 Corinthians 12, 6 to 10, it says, "For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." He takes pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, because he knew that the power of Christ rested on him. He'd come to understand that his true strength was in Christ, that his boast was in the power of God, not in his own abilities, even though he had his own abilities. He said elsewhere, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, etc., etc. He had a lot to boast about, but yet he put all that aside. He considered it, in another scripture says, as dung, and he boasted in Christ Jesus. He'd rather boast in his weaknesses, he said. He took delight in his weaknesses because so that Christ's power may rest on me, he said. See, when we step out in obedience to God, we're not doing it for our own glory. We're doing it so we can step out with Christ's power resting on us, so that Christ would be glorified and that his purposes would be fulfilled and his kingdom extended. It's no use doing anything if Christ's power isn't resting on us, is it? Anything else outside of that is wood, straw, hay and stubble destined for the fire. The only works that count are those that are done in Christ. That's the purpose of why we do what we do. Not for our own glory, but to glorify him. Our boast is in the cross. Our hope is in the cross. Our salvation is in the cross. The message of the cross: foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God that saves us. It's the power of God that keeps us. It's the power of God that enables us. And it's the power of God that will ultimately raise us from the dead. It's the power of God that redeems us and heals us and sets us free and renews our mind and transforms our being, that makes us holy. We can't take any credit upon ourselves. When we're given those crowns in heaven, we will cast them before him, because it's all of him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are the clay. He is the potter. He's the one who shapes us. He's the one who molds us. He's the one who delivers us. And he's the one who equips the church. The gifts of the Spirit are exactly that. They are gifts of his Spirit to the church for the equipping of the saints. Servants that are provided to the church to minister within the body of Christ are gifts from the Lord for that purpose. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, men gifted by God for the edification of the church. His gifts, nothing of us. We just need to fulfill our parts, to fulfill the ministries to which we're called, whatever that might be, whether praying, giving, being helpful, being joyful, whether it's preaching, teaching, working in miracles or healings, whatever the gift is that God's given us, we need to be willing to let God do with us and use us as he wills. And it's not down to us, is it? It's down to him. And it's all for his glory, not ours. Time is short on this earth. God has called all of us this morning to minister, hasn't he, within the body of Christ. And in whatever way he's called us to, we need to be obedient. God's chosen vessel is the church. We are the Israel of God in the current age, this time of the Gentiles. And the time is coming when that time of the Gentiles is coming to an end. And those last seven missing years of the time of the Jews will become the current time. But until then, we need to be preaching the message of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. The world out there needs obedient people to reach out to it. God has chosen to use his church. The manifold wisdom of God has designed it this way. To use the weak, the foolish, the unlearned. You know, look at the disciples. They were unlearned men. And yet they spoke with the power of God. In the book of Acts, it says that those that heard them marvelled that these unlearned men were speaking with authority from the power of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled and they realised that they had been with Jesus. They had the boldness of the Holy Spirit. That's the source of the power that they had. As God's servants, we are just the willing vessels. That's what we need to be. It's not to our glory, for his glory. God delights in using weak vessels because it glorifies him. We can see lives change because ultimately it's the power of God that does that. It's the power of God that sets men free. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Christ is our righteousness, our wisdom, our redemption. It's all of him. We just need to be willing. And we can't use our own inability as an excuse for disobedience. We can't use our own lack. When we're weak in Christ, we're strong. We need to be willing vessels and let God use us. Let the Holy Spirit guide us, direct us, and not look to our own selves and use that as a reason not to serve God, but trust in the Lord to do what he tells us to do so that we can fulfill his purpose and his will for our lives. In Philippians 4:19, he says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And in James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You know, God will supply all we need, all of it, if we'll only trust him. Amen. Let him use us as his people and his servants. Amen. 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 Let's pray this morning.